All right. Thank you, Dr. Toh. Let's return to the theme of what we've been talking about, and that is the premillennialism's scriptural base. I'll get some power here in a minute here. premillennialism's scriptural base. Remember, by way of review, there were just six questions that we asked about it. What is the millennium? And we said that that is 1,000 years where the Lord Jesus Christ Himself will reign upon this earth. And we believers that were saved will be reigning with Him for the 1,000 years. When is the millennium? Directly after the tribulation, Daniel 70th week. Where is the millennium? It will be the millennial central reigning power. It will be in Jerusalem. Who are the principal personages of the millennium? The Lord Jesus Christ is the main one. The Gentiles, Israel, and of course the church will be reigning with Him 1,000 years. And how is the millennium to be brought about? Only by the power of God. Man cannot bring in his own millennium. Why must there be a literal millennial reign of Christ on earth to fulfill all the scriptures that are in the Bible? If we take the golden rule of Bible interpretation and follow it as a rule, when plain sense of scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. We either don't read our Bibles, or we don't believe our Bibles, but if we take every plain sense of Scripture in a common sense way, and every word at a primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning, unless the facts clearly indicate otherwise, if we do that, we're just loaded down with verses of the Bible that must be fulfilled somewhere. They have not been fulfilled yet. They will not be fulfilled in the present. They haven't been fulfilled in the past, and they won't be fulfilled in the future, unless the Lord Jesus Christ Himself fulfills them. We've been talking about 8 characteristics of the millennium. We mentioned the first one, that was the fact that Israel would be gathered to Palestine by the Lord in His power. The gathering of Israel out of all the nations that He's scattered them abroad in. Secondly, that Jerusalem is the capital of the world, and all the nations would take that. Let's start my watch. I almost forgot. All right. That Jerusalem is the capital of the world. And third, that Israel is the prominent nation of the world. The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. And the fourth characteristic, Israel dwells in safety. Now, if you know anything about the hostilities in Palestine, you'll know very well that Israel is not dwelling in safety at the present time. With the Arabs against bristling for attack, with the Scud missiles coming over, and that last little fiasco over there in the Suez and the Gulf and so on, that war, Israel is not dwelling in safety. It's never in the past dwelt in safety, and it won't dwell in safety in the future unless the Lord Jesus Christ brings it about in the millennium. Let's take a look at 12 verses from the Scriptures concerning Israel's dwelling in safety. That's one of the 8 characteristics of the millennium. The first is 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 10. The children of wickedness will no longer afflict them as before time. A second scripture on this is Isaiah 32, verse 18. Isaiah 32:18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. They're not sure dwellings now. They're bickering and fighting and carrying on and killing and blowing up people. Is not fulfilled, has not been, but it will be in the millennium. And again, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. God says He's going to have quiet resting places. We must believe it. A third verse, Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. In His days, Judah will be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Dwell safely. And this is His name whereby He shall be called the Lord of Righteousness. A fourth verse, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest and in quiet. No more tanks, no more guns, no more bombs. They will be quiet. When Mrs. Wade and I went to Palestine on a trip that my mom sent us on, she gave us a way to go, and we went. I think it was in about 1981 or 82. When we crossed over from Amman, Jordan, over the River Jordan into Israel, there were armed guards at that border point. And we couldn't take pictures. We couldn't take this and take that. We had to be just exactly right. And the soldiers there were the machine gun nests. Because any Israelis or people that coming in to see Israel had to be guarded by these Arabs, and they were sure that it wasn't an attack coming, and they had the machine guns trained on the bus as it went over that little Jordan River at that particular point. They certainly are not at rest at this time. So many people have come in, and so many bombs have been going off, but God said, one day they shall be at rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Jeremiah 30 and verse 10. A fifth verse on this dwelling in safety is in Jeremiah 32 and verse 37. Jeremiah 32, 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Again, God's promise, Jeremiah 32, 37. Again, Jeremiah 33, 16. In those days shall Jacob be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Again, the safe dwelling of Israel, promised by the Word of God. And then another verse, a seventh one, in Ezekiel 28, 26. And they shall dwell safely therein. That is in Palestine, that is in Jerusalem. And shall build houses and plant vineyards, yea, and they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. That will be fulfilled. Safe dwelling, vineyard building, and so on. I will feed them in a good pasture, in a fat pasture. An eighth verse in Ezekiel 34, verse 27. Ezekiel 34, 27 says, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land. Safe. God promised it. It will take place, and it will take place in the millennial reign of Christ. They shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. A ninth verse, Ezekiel 34 and verse 38. Ezekiel 34, 38, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. That's Ezekiel 34, 28. Again, safety. A tenth verse is in Ezekiel 37:26. Ezekiel 37:26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Oh, a covenant of peace. It shall be an everlasting covenant. I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them, this covenant of peace, so they will dwell in safety. And then an 11th verse, Zechariah 8:5. Zechariah 8:5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Can you imagine boys and girls playing in the streets of the city of Philadelphia or New York City or Washington, D.C. or maybe some of your areas, and even in Israel, safely playing without fear, the mothers and fathers letting them out there? Why, we hear of killings almost every month in the Philadelphia area where we're from. We're in New Jersey, right across the river from Philadelphia. And every month or every other month, it seems, that there's some shooting and some innocent child is shot to death by some of the gangs that are marauding. And they're in their home or they're out on their porch and they get shot because some of the people are fighting. And here in Jerusalem, it'll be full of boys and girls playing in the streets because there's safety. The Lord Jesus Christ will be ruling and reigning from His holy hill of Zion. The next verse also, Zechariah 14 and verse 11. Not the next one, but another couple of verses down, another chapter, Zechariah 14, 11, the 12th verse, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Zechariah 14 and verse 11. So much for this fourth characteristic of the millennium, the fact that Israel shall dwell in safety. There's a fifth characteristic, and that is peace and justice prevails. Peace and justice. Peace, the absence of war. Justice, when the Lord Jesus is reigning, He's not going to be unjust. He's not going to let things slide, but He will have things in order as He should. We have 22 verses on this particular thing. We'd like to call your attention to 22 verses from the Word of God on peace and justice. And it hasn't happened in the past. It's not happening in the present. You can't say that justice is prevailing all over this world. You can't say peace is prevailing. You take a look at Somalia and the troops from that United Nations, which, again, I'm opposed to that whole thing, joining forces with one world government's coming, though. The Lord has prophesied it, hasn't it? I guess we can't worry about it, but there's war, those people trying to steal food from the hungry Somalians, people giving food and hundreds and thousands of meals that are just unable to be served because of these other marauding bands. But peace and justice will prevail during the millennium. The first verse is Isaiah 2 and verse 3. And he, the people, shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So there will be justice, there will be peace, because the law will be going forth. And then Isaiah 2 and verse 4, a second verse, Isaiah 2 and verse 4, he shall judge among the nations. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of all the earth, and shall rebuke many people. Now notice in Isaiah 2 and verse 4, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Has that ever happened in the past? Is that happening right now? Will that happen in the future by man's designs? No. But in the millennium, this will happen. When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Take every word at its primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning, unless the facts clearly indicate otherwise. God wants us to understand. And when He says that their swords will be beat into plowshares, that doesn't mean that the communists over in Russia are going to promise that they're not going to have any more atomic bombs that are aimed at any country of the world. Promise. It's not mean they're going to promise and then have them hidden somewhere so they can be bombed. That means every nation in the world will have all the armaments of war absolutely dismantled and really dismantled, not just with lying lips, like the Cuban Missile Crisis and so on. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation. They shall not learn war anymore. That's the millennium. God has to fulfill this, and He has to fulfill it literally, or God is not God. God is lying to us if He does not fulfill these promises of His Word. A third verse, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. We read that before in another line. A fourth verse, Isaiah 9 and verse 7. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and at the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. Judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. Peace and justice prevailing. A fifth verse, Isaiah 11 and verse 3. Speaking of Christ ruling in the millennium, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Justice. He will judge righteously. Not like some of the judges of our day that are corrupt, that take bribes and money under the table, but he will judge righteously. A sixth verse is Isaiah 11 and verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Justice. King Jesus will do right. A seventh verse, Isaiah 11 and verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. His internal heart of hearts will be righteousness and faithfulness. An eighth verse, Isaiah 32 in verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Princes shall rule in judgment. That will take place during the millennial reign of our Savior. A ninth verse, Isaiah 40 in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him. His work is before Him. A strong hand, justice and judgment and righteousness. A tenth verse, in Isaiah 42 in verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Absolute judgment, meaning justice and righteousness. 11th verse, Isaiah 42 and verse 3. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, a bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth, justice again. A 12th verse, Isaiah 60 and verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. They must serve the Lord, or they will be wasted. A 13th verse, Isaiah 60 and verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, thy gates praise. The Lord will get rid of violence. The crime statistics, I don't know about your area, but in our area, the United States of America, have been going up. Crimes against the person, crimes against property, have been going up, according to our Federal Bureau of Investigation statistics, annually. And some have gone up higher than others. But in the millennium, violence shall be no more heard, period. If the FBI has any statistics in that time at all, and I don't think they will, they'll have zero crime rate, zero violence, because the Lord Jesus Christ will see to it. Justice will prevail. The 14th verse, Jeremiah 23 in verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. Judgment and justice. Jeremiah 23 verse 5. A 15th verse, Jeremiah 33 verse 15. Jeremiah 33:15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Judgment and righteousness. Jeremiah 33 verse 15. A 16th verse, Daniel 2 verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44 talks about this fourth or fifth kingdom, rather. You start with the Babylonian kingdom, then Medo-Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome. Those four major Gentile power kingdoms. And then the stone comes and knocks down the feet of that beast, of that image, and a new kingdom. That's the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will be an everlasting dominion. A 17th verse, Daniel 7 and verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And then the 18th verse, Daniel 7:27. The kingdom and dominion and greatness of his kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Justice and righteousness. Everyone will serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Daniel 7:27. A 19th verse, Micah 4 and verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So they will obey. Justice will prevail. A 20th verse is Micah 4 and verse 3. Micah 4:3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Here again. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, the implements of war will be changed to peacetime. In Micah 4:3, just like in Isaiah that we read. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. When God says they shall learn war no more, that's literally going to be fulfilled. Take every word as primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning. Don't spiritualize. All these verses are spiritualized completely by such men as Mr. Camping and others who say there is no such thing as Israel, there is no such thing as a millennium, and there is no such thing as Christ reigning 1,000 years. The 21st verse, Zechariah 14 and verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. That's when He fought in the day of battle. He's going to put them down. Justice will prevail. Righteousness will prevail. The final verse, 22nd verse on this section, Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and His name one. King, which will reign in righteousness and judgment. Well, there's a sixth characteristic that will prevail in the millennium. And that is the knowledge of the Lord will be universal. Universal knowledge of the Lord. Just a couple of verses on this one. The knowledge of the Lord, universal. In the book of Isaiah, verse 11, and chapter 11, verse 9, Isaiah 11, 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As you know, the sea makes up a very high percentage of the entire land mass. And as the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of the Lord, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Well, you know that that's not the case now, never has been, isn't now, never will be, if man has anything to do about it. And I realize we send missionaries out to the ends of the earth, and we ought to do that. God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But there is no time ever in the history of the world when the entire earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of the Savior, salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. And yet in the millennial reign of Christ, this will be literally fulfilled. God has said it. God has spoken to it. And notice the last paragraph. God, in revealing His Word, neither intends nor permits the reader to be confused. He wants His children to understand. That's the golden rule of Bible interpretation. And the second verse is Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:9 says it. Habakkuk 2:14 says it. Tremendous. Now, we have another characteristic. That was a short one. Another one is number 7. Unprecedented changes will take place. Unprecedented changes. We have a number of verses that illustrate that from the Word of God. In fact, we have 28 verses of these unprecedented changes that are going to take place in the millennium. They have not taken place in the past. They are not taking place right now in the present, and they won't take place in the future except the Lord does it in a miraculous way. The first verse, Isaiah 11 and verse 6. Isaiah 11, 6 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Well, you know that wolves and lambs right now don't dwell together. One is inside of the other. That reminds me of a story about the hunter hunting for the bear. And both of them got their request. Wasn't that nice? Both of them got their request. All the hunter wanted was a fur coat. And all the bear wanted was a full stomach. Both got their request. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. You know that's not possible. That doesn't happen. That's against nature. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Young lions with the calf and not eating the calf up. And a little child shall lead them. You ought to see the way these anti-millennial people that don't want any millennium and don't want to interpret the Scripture in the plain sense way, you should see the different ways they have of explaining these verses away. And I mean just explaining them away. When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. When God says the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, that means in the millennial reign of Christ upon this earth, when King Jesus is reigning, things are going to be different. You hear that you sing that chorus, things are different now. Something's happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Well, things are going to be different here with the animal kingdom. And it's going to be literally fulfilled. Unprecedented change is taking place that God has promised and God will fulfill, and it's only possible in the millennial reign of the Lord. A second verse, Isaiah 27 and verse 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off the channel of the river into the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, you children of Israel. Here you're beating off a channel from the stream of Egypt, something in a geological sense that cannot take place except God do it. A third verse, Isaiah 29 and verse 18. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. God's going to heal the blind eyes, the deaf ears to hear, the eyes to see in the millennial reign of Christ. You have plenty of blind people these days and deaf people as well. Isaiah 30 and verse 26, a fourth verse. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. There's no reason to seek any other sense than the plain sense that the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, just as bright as the sunshine. The sunshine will be sevenfold brighter than it is today. No reason to seek any other sense. God is able to do it. He will do it. And he has his reasons. Notice the fifth verse. Isaiah 35 verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Well, wait a minute. Desert, sand, no water, blossoming as the rose. Simply take every word in its primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning, unless the context clearly indicates otherwise. God is going to make this to come to pass. And repeatedly, he talks about desert blossoming. In the millennial reign of Christ, this is what's going to take place. A sixth verse, Isaiah 35, verse 2. It shall blossom abundantly, that is the desert, and rejoice with joy and singing. A seventh verse, Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Here again, you got the people that are blind able to see, deaf able to hear. The eighth verse, Isaiah 35, verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Here you have again the lame man leaping. And here now you have waters breaking out in the wilderness. Waters don't come up out of the desert on their own, do they? Man's not going to bring waters out of the desert when there's no water there. They're going to break out in streams in the desert places. God's going to do it. The whole topography, the whole geography, the whole ecosystem is going to be changed in the millennial reign of our Savior. An eighth verse, Isaiah 35, verse 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land, springs of water. In the inhabitation of dragons, where they lay, shall be the grass with reeds and rushes. God's going to make springs and pools of water. And then a tenth verse, Isaiah 35, verse 6. And a highway shall be there, and a way shall be called the way of holiness. God's going to build a highway in the millennium as well. An 11th one. No lion shall be there, or any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk in. So the lion won't be in that particular situation. A 12th verse, Isaiah 41:18. Isaiah 41:18 says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Here again, God's going to water this desert. You look at the desert, and you see the Fertile Crescent. We call it the Fertile Crescent. From Palestine, north, and then going over. But if you go due east of Palestine, all you have is desert. When we crossed over again from Amman, Jordan, and the Jordan Valley, just all sorts of sand and desert. It was a terrible place. Then we came across the Allenby Bridge into Jordan. And that city of Jordan, green palm trees all over the place. Because it had what? Pardon me, not Jordan. Thank you, honey. Jericho, when it came into Jericho. Absolute greenery of palms and all sorts of shrubs. But that desert that we saw that nothing but sand. God said He's going to make water and He's going to make it to grow and streams in that desert. Over and over again, water is going to come into that desert place of Palestine. Isaiah 43:20 certainly says so. Rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. A 16th verse, Isaiah 55, verse 13. Instead of the thorn, there shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, shall come up myrtle trees. It shall be to the Lord for a name. And so on. Now, that's a literal thing, too. You don't have to spiritualize. Plain sense of Scripture makes common sense. You can take every word as primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning. And the thorns will come up fir trees in the millennium because God's going to change the whole course of nature. And instead of briars, myrtle trees. A 17th verse in Isaiah 65, 17. I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. He's going to change the topography of the heavens, topography of the earth. Now, He's not going to burn up at this point. That was going to be before the final eternal state, but at least He's going to create changes in earth, changes in heaven. The 18th verse, Isaiah 65, 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die an 100 years old. The child shall die 100 years old. Has that ever happened in the past? Well, maybe before the flood, Methuselah lived 969 years. But a child shall die 100 years. In the present, does a child die at 100? No. Dies much earlier than that. He's no longer a child at 100. Have to be an old, old woman or man to die at 100. But in the millennial reign of Christ, longevity will be instituted just like before the flood. Child dies at 100, what would that make a man or a woman die at? Maybe even living as long as Methuselah, 969 some odd years. The whole topography, the whole atmospheric heavens and earth will be changed so that this will be possible. And there's no reason not to take the plain sense of Scripture in its primary, ordinary, literal, usual meaning. That a child will die being 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years will be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them and so on. 19th verse, Isaiah 65, 22. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. The days of a tree. You know how old trees get to be? The sequoias, big redwoods and various things. Over 1,000 years old. The oldest trees that we have on this earth. 1,000 years old. And the days of my people shall be as the days of a tree. Longevity will take place, literally, in the millennium. Take it for what it is. Take and believe it. God said it. You've got to believe it. And I've got to believe it. A 20th verse, Isaiah 65, 25. Isaiah 65, 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Not on one another, but they'll feed together. Both of them eating something other than themselves. Wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Again, we need not have any spiritualization of the Scripture. Take it in its literal, ordinary, primary, usual meaning. That's going to take place in the millennium. A 21st verse, Isaiah 66 and verse 8. Have you heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Isaiah 66, 8 speaks of the birth of Israel in one day. That is, having them saved, having them come to Christ, and be a nation that is a nation that is a godly nation. 22nd verse is found also in Ezekiel 47 and verse 8. Ezekiel 47, 8 says, Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, and it will brought forth in the sea, and waters shall be healed. Now here is fresh water coming out of Ezekiel's temple and healing the salt water, making it fresh. Again, here you have water watering that whole area. Literally will be fulfilled in the millennium. Never has been in the past. Isn't being fulfilled in the present, and it will be in the future. Look also at the 23rd verse, Ezekiel 47 and verse 9. Ezekiel 47, 9 says, It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Now here you talk, you take Palestine, and you go east of Palestine, you have desert, and you're going to have rivers watering these portions of the desert. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Out of the temple of God, fresh water will flow to water the desert and to make the salt water sweet and pure and clear. Joel 3:18, the 24th verse, the hills and the mountains shall drop down new wine, the hills flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. Out of the house of the Lord a fountain shall come forth. Here's water again in the millennium that will take place. 25th verse is Zechariah 14 verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Then in verse 3, Zechariah 14, 2 rather, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now this is an unusual occurrence, is it not? Unprecedented change. All nations gathered to battle into Jerusalem. And the city shall be taken, and so on. Then in verse 3, as Zechariah 14, 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And notice verse 4, Zechariah 14, 4, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back in power and glory. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountains shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. Zechariah 14:4 will be literally fulfilled. Again, this is Wade and I, when we went to Palestine there, we stayed on the Mount of Olives. There's an international hotel, isn't that what they call it? International hotel? I was thinking it was called on the Mount of Olives. And Jerusalem, as I look this way from the mount, Jerusalem is over here to the west of it. And this Mount of Olives goes exactly north and south. I looked up one night, and there I saw Ursa Major, otherwise known as the Big Dipper. I saw the pointing stars of the Small Dipper, Ursa Minor, pointing out to the North Star. Dead exactly north and south is that Mount of Olives. And the North Star, I couldn't even believe it. When the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to split that Mount of Olives right in half, just like this, this way. And half of it's going to go north, half of it's going to go south. Split right this way. And Israel over here, and that river out of the temple is going to flow the water right straight through this valley and water that whole place. Now that's what Zechariah 14 in verse 4 is teaching. His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. That's an unprecedented change that takes place, and it's only going to take place when Jesus comes back and the millennium is set up. And we can take it as literally, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. His feet, we know what feet are, right? Shall stand, we know what it means to stand, in that day, when he returns, upon the Mount of Olives, we know where that is, which is before Jerusalem on the east, we know where that is. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. It will cleave like this. Here's Jerusalem over here. Here's the North Star. It'll move like that. And a great valley shall be half of the mountains are removed to the north, half of it toward the south. And in verse Zechariah 14:8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea, and in summer and winter shall it be. Those waters will go out half toward the Salt Sea, half toward the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee. And we'll have rivers there, and water, and fresh water, indeed. 28th and final verse of this section. And so all Israel, this is in Romans 11, verse 26. Romans 11, 26. All Israel shall be saved. That certainly is going to be a momentous event when the whole nation will be saved and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we just have one more characteristic of the millennium, and then we'll be finished and wrap it up. And that is, David reigns again in Zion. Now, He will probably reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in conjunction with the Lord. But there are various verses. We have some verses that deal with that, some four verses. First one is Ezekiel 34, verse 23. I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. So in addition to the Lord Jesus Christ reigning in Jerusalem, David will be resurrected and will be reigning with Christ, same as the believers will be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. A second verse on that, Ezekiel 34, verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, and I, the Lord, have spoken it. A third verse, Ezekiel 37, 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes. David was long gone, dead and buried, when Ezekiel wrote this. But God is going to raise him up and going to be reigning with Christ as his co-regent. A fourth and final verse on this, Ezekiel 37, 25. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, they and their children and their children's children, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Well, this takes care of the eight characteristics of the millennium. All eight of them will be literally fulfilled, and not a single one will be left out in the Lord's own time. Israel will be gathered to Palestine by the Lord. Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Israel is a prominent nation of the world. Israel will dwell in safety. Peace and justice will prevail. The knowledge of the Lord is going to be universal. Unprecedented changes are going to take place, all these that we mentioned, and then David will reign again in Zion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, there's nothing that needs to be wondered about or worried about if we simply take the simple golden rule of Bible interpretation. All these verses can be interpreted and understood in their plain sense. And we can take every word at its primary, ordinary, literal meaning, unless the facts of the immediate context clearly indicate otherwise. So these are some of the verses that we have singled out that deal with the millennium, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. 1,000 years. And if we go back to that first section of Scripture, we go back to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2 and 3 and 4, it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Scripture tells it. Scripture teaches it, if we take it in its literal fashion. And in verse 6, Revelation 20, verse 6, they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. So you and I will be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ during this 1,000-year reign of our Savior. I believe that the Lord Jesus will return before the millennium and set up this millennial kingdom that is spoken of in Scripture so many places. And I believe it not because the Scofield Reference Bible teaches it, and it does. I believe it not because Dallas Theological Seminary, where I went to school, teaches it, and it does. It did. I don't know what it's doing now. But I believe it because it's in the Bible. That's why I believe in the millennium. That's why I believe Jesus Christ is going to return to set it up. Because man cannot do it. And all these changes and everything else cannot be fulfilled unless the Lord comes back. And He will one day return for that purpose. Well, we hope that you have been able, at least in part, to see some of the reasons for premillennialism's scriptural base, and that you will be able to thwart and answer those who may not believe the Word of God.